Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Welcome to the Lord's service to us by means of his name, word, and with his very body and blood, and a happy Mother's Day to all moms who are out there. A couple of announcements this morning. Bible class and Sunday school meets again today, 9:30. Children meet in the music room for an opening devotion, and adults meet in the gym. We'll be covering the book of James this morning in the gym, and the new member class meets in the fellowship hall. This Thursday is the Ascension of our Lord, 40 days after our Lord's resurrection. He ascended into heaven, not to leave us, but to fill all things in heaven and on earth. We celebrate that festival Thursday at 8:30 a.m. with the divine service. The children of our school will be at that one. Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. or in the evening at 6:30 p.m. Service this morning is found on the panel of your bulletin. The best way to follow along is simply go to the page indicated on the panel. Green sheet is there with readings for today, notes on the service, and a devotion for you to be used throughout the week. That's all the announcements I have. Please stand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel for confession and absolution. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you, God, for word and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son,
forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the
Lord.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "Who does this babblers wish to say, or what does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Verse, for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, then the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text is from the Holy Gospel, especially these words, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The fear of abandonment is one of our deepest and most primal fears. It often goes back to infancy and childhood and can be a very traumatic, life-changing event. To be left alone as a child can scar you for a lifetime. Separation anxiety is real and a devastating malady that affects personalities and relationships. Today is Mother's Day. And I remember when my wife would leave the children for too long, they would be fearful. So we taught them a little song. My mama comes back. She always comes back. She never will forget me. But we know that this isn't always true. There are many mothers and fathers who have abandoned their children. Parents who have adopted children out of orphanages are familiar with this separation anxiety and the abandonment feeling. You see, we are born to be dependent on our mothers and our fathers. There is no other substitute. To be abandoned is utterly devastating. When God created this world and decided to populate the world, not all at one time, but through families, a mother and a father, who take part in that procreative process and have children and raise them. Orphans were not a part of God's picture in the beginning. It is sin and death that creates orphans. It is sin and death that rips families apart. It is sin and death that makes our lives less than God intended them to be in so many ways. And so how appropriate that the one who has come to pay for our sins and defeat our death, the very sin and death that creates orphans, makes this promise to you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. He is the only person that could ever say that. We can't, because we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the next hour, let alone tomorrow. We don't know when our end is coming, but Jesus knows all things. He knew the time for the cross had come, and that his disciples would feel abandoned, like orphans, afraid and alone. He also knew that the resurrection would follow and that he would come to them. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The disciples didn't fully understand these words, but they would. They are truly words to hang on to. But the devil is an orphan maker. And he wants to make an orphan out of you and me. He does not want us to believe this word of Jesus, this promise, but instead believe that God has abandoned you. Maybe because of a sin that you think was too great. The devil says, look at you. You are a poor wretch. You don't deserve a heavenly father. What have you done for him lately? You don't even think about him half the time, do you? The devil says. And what did Jesus say today? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But you don't, do you? Neither do I. We love ourselves and the things that we have, our lives, more than God. And it shows up in our lives, doesn't it? The devil says. And the Holy Spirit? Well, where's the evidence of him in your life? The devil whispers. You don't feel very spirit-filled, do you? See, you can't count on God. Look at the tragedies in your world.
look at the troubles in your life. And the devil makes a convincing case, doesn't he? He's good at arguing logic and philosophy and pointing out sins. But here's the thing, God's love for you defies human logic. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. It isn't a love of this world. It isn't earned, and there's always more of it. His self-giving, undeserved love for you, his love that would cause him to send his son to die for your sins, all of them, not one excluded, no matter how small, no matter how large. And then he sends you a helper. A counselor? A paraclete? A good lawyer. Which means you're no orphan. But the devil breaks in at this point and says, well, maybe that's true, but you blew it again. Jesus did come to you. He sent you the Spirit, didn't he? And you blow it every day. You reject him and his gifts with your sins and your unholiness. And it's all around this world. And then look at all the spiritual orphans out there. To see people living like St. Paul dealt with in the Areopagus, not really knowing who God is, but listening to all the new critical theory ideas out there and the wokeism. We don't need to look for orphans. They're living right next door to us. They may be even living in our own home, listening to the ideologies of the world. Quite right, Mr. Devil, but here's where you're wrong. Jesus didn't just come for us one time, and he just doesn't send the Spirit to once. He comes to us at all times, sending the Spirit constantly, giving himself for us. For the Spirit isn't our possession, a dove that we try to put in a little cage. But it's the continual self-giving of God's gifts for us. And so Jesus' words are really more like this. I will be asking the Father, and he will be giving you another helper, and he will be coming to you, and you will be living and loving and keeping. And that's really the Christian life. You see, we sometimes think wrongly that the Christian life is like a set of jumper cables in the back of my trunk. That God jump starts us and gives us a spiritual life, and then we go off and go on our own. No, the Christian life is a really continually receiving of our Lord, a continual connection, him providing us with all that we need from the smallest embryo to the oldest one of us here today. And in every stage in between, I will not leave you as orphans. And he's coming to you. Jesus didn't ascend into heaven to leave us all alone, but to fill up all things. Come on Thursday, you'll hear more about that, I'm sure, from Pastor Mack. And he's coming for you and working and praying. He comes in those waters. There in those waters, his death is given to you. His resurrection is given to you. He comes to you in his word and he teaches you his truth. He holds up the mirror of his law and convicts us of our sin, leads us to repentance, and then forgives them. He comes to you in this supper. He's here in, with, and under the bread and wine to feed you his very body and blood. But then the perplexing part of this text, which honestly I didn't even want to preach on. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Does that mean if you love me, you will obey the Ten Commandments? Yes, the Ten Commandments teach us what true love is, but it means much more than that. For the word keep here doesn't just mean to obey, it means to treasure all that Jesus has said, to hold on to guard, to treasure. So the Christian faith is a continual receiving by faith what our Lord is constantly giving. And that's not easy. Peter tells us that there are days that we will suffer for this. Suffer for doing good, suffering for following the word, which again the devil will try to twist around and make you think that you're an orphan, to throw your hands up in the air and say, what's the point? And at such times, Jesus gives the Spirit the helper whom we need every day, because the attacks of the devil are real. The struggles of this world and this life will wear you down and wear you out. Jesus knows them all. And so he made you this promise: I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come for you. And he is. That's why you're here today. He knows that there's not a day that goes by that you and I don't need him, and he comes. You're not an orphan. You are his loved child. And when the devil comes and deceives you and tries to lead you into despair, fill your ears with Jesus' words. Fill your mouths with his food. Fill your hearts with his love and your lives with his forgiveness. And tell Satan to go to. For I am God's own child. I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. I am not an orphan. I am his love. Happy Mother's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you bless and protect your people in a world where many false gods, known and unknown, are worshipped. Give your saints a clear and bold proclamation of Jesus Christ. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless church workers and those preparing for full-time church vocations, that we may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of heaven and earth, you have given the Spirit of truth to dwell in us through holy baptism. Grant your Spirit steadfast guidance, that the feet of this congregation and its catechumens may not slip into sin and unbelief, but live always in praise of you before the world. Lord, in your mercy. Creator, you made from one man all the nations of the earth, and still you sustain us. Grant good leaders in every land who will seek peace and serve justice. Frustrate the causes of evil, violence, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you have given us a mirror of your love and the vocation of mothers who nurture, guide, and raise their children in all things good. Bless them in their calling. Sustain them through weary and difficult times. Remember in compassion all who are barren, and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you promise not to abandon us in our need, nor leave us as orphans. Send forth your Spirit and work through us, your people, that the lonely, poor, homeless, and travelers may rejoice in your presence and the power of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Grant healing according to your will and sustain in faith those for whom we pray, especially Brad Yench and Dave Lahner, who are hospitalized, Samantha, who is ill, Mary, recovering after open-heart surgery, Renee, who will have major surgery tomorrow in Florida, Deborah, whose health has taken a turn for the worse, Bart, for continued management of his illness, Emmy, Tim, Heather, Benjamin, Bernadette, Sue, Jennifer, Sharon, Doris, Timothy, and Ronald, all in treatment for cancer, Eleanor and Dorothy in hospice care, and the family of Jean Gritzmacher. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for the salvation and life you give us through Christ Jesus. You do not leave your people as orphans, but strengthen the penitent with the body and blood of your Son. Help us to receive what you offer here for our good, that this Holy Communion may strengthen our faith and equip us for your service. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever ask you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the offering and for the signing of the Friendship Register.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.